Let's pray now. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. You know, a great conversation to have with Jewish people is this. It starts with a question: what does Passover mean to you? And if you learn to listen to Jewish people and to hear what they answer, you can find opportunity for conversation. I heard that there was one five-year-old who was asked, what's most important to you about Passover? And this is what she said: well, that's when we get to eat unleaded bread. At our family Seder this week, there were about 30 of us, family and a few friends, who gathered together. And I had the honor of leading the Passover. And I have to tell you that my family gets nervous, because I am the only one of six siblings who is a Messianic Jew. And so they get nervous. One part of them wants me to lead because I'm a rabbi, and the other part of them is afraid. You know, what is he going to do this time? And so I did what I could to let others take a position of leadership with the Seder, but it really got down to them wanting me to do it. So I decided I will do it, and I will do it in a way that they'll be comfortable with, because the Lord put something in my heart for this year's Seder with my family, and that was it would involve the children as much as possible. So the day before the Seder, I spent time with my niece and two of my grandchildren, and we spent about 30 or 40 minutes practicing the Manashtana. Manashtana Halayla Hazel Mikol Halelot. Why is this night different from all other nights? And we went through the Hebrew and practiced it, and there's some difficult phrasing, and we got that all worked out. And then what made me so happy is the next day, some other children, family and friends, joined us for the Seder, and the three children I had worked with gathered together, and they spent time rehearsing with them, with the others, on their own initiative, for another 30 minutes or so. And so when it was time for them to do the Manashtana, they got up, they had organized themselves, they knew what positions to be in, they were standing in a line, they knew who went first, who went second, who did the different parts. And you know what? The parents were just delighted. And I know that it surprised them that all the children did so well and they were so enthusiastic. I have a Messianic rabbi friend who says sometimes the very strongest witness you can have with other Jewish people, especially family, is not to say anything about Yeshua. Because sometimes our families are on guard and they're protected and they have their shields up and they know you're going to do something. They just don't know what it is. And then when you don't, they let their defenses down. And they're ready to communicate in a normal way. So I was surprised after the Seder that several of the family members who I expected the most disapproval from based on past body language, you know, rolling of the eyes like, oh, here he goes again, talking about God. Don't even have to talk about Yeshua sometimes. Just talk about God. It can irritate some people. But what surprised me was how many of those who normally have some reluctance said this was a wonderful Seder and one of the best they had ever been to. And one of the things that touched them the most was how actively the children participated, and of many different ages. But during the Seder, I asked a question. And I have to tell you that in my family, most of us are married to people who were not born Jewish. And I picked on some of them but not only them. But I just asked this question of many people in the group. What is it that's most important to you about Passover? And several of them said family. Getting together with family is just so important. And this is the one time when we can count on a family gathering that we all try to make time for. Even if we don't all come every year, we try to get together. And this is the first time in, I guess, since we were teenagers, that all six siblings were together with our families present. So it was really the best of our Seders. Another one said, several said, tradition. Just having this tradition of gathering together is really important to us. One of the teenagers said, remembering. Passover is all about remembering. And it encouraged her that we gather together and we remember the things that God has done. So I could ask this question of you. What is Passover for you? What makes it important to you? You know, it's a family holiday. When we celebrate Passover with family, it's a time not for lecturing, but a time for dialogue, a time for discussion. And children will ask you questions like, what does all this mean and why do we do this? And we have to have explanations. And I have found that it's important to keep the explanations short when you're talking to children. How many of you can verify that? Better that you give them something short, and if they want to know more, they ask another question. Because you can start with four questions, but you can have eight or ten if you need. You can just keep increasing the number of questions. Listen to some of these statements from the book of Exodus in chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. It says, when your children ask you what the Passover Seder means to you, you will reply, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, because He passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and protected us, and though He struck the Egyptians, He spared our families. I love that Exodus prepares us for family dialogue. Exodus teaches us when we celebrate Passover, our children are going to say, well, why are we doing this? What does this mean? And they're going to ask, what does it mean to you? Not just what does it mean, but what does it mean to you? And here it's important not just to answer with what you know, but to answer with what's important and what has touched you, what has affected you. Because one of the other important aspects of Passover is it builds our identity. It helps us understand where we came from, who we belong to, what our nation is like, what our future can be in God, what God has done in times past. And it also helps us as Messianic Jews to understand how Yeshua, the Lamb of God, fits into Passover and the connection of Passover and Messiah. Exodus chapter 13, verse 8, tells us that there will be yet more questions, and on that day we're to tell our children, I do this. Now I want you to practice saying these words, because they're special. They're not you statements, they're I statements. So repeat these phrases after me. I do this because of what the Lord did for me. When I came out of Egypt. Now, if you've got a wise guy child, and you say this, they're going to say something like, Dad, I knew you were old, but I didn't know you were that old. And they're going to ask you to explain, how can you say God brought you out of Egypt? And then you have to explain what it meant for you to participate in the Exodus and how you see your own connection to the Exodus of Egypt and your personal experience. Later on in the same chapter, verse 14, it says, in the future, your children will ask you, what does all this mean? See, there are three kinds of questions. First one is, what does it mean to you? Second is, why is it important to me? Why did the Exodus touch me? And the third one is, what does it all mean? And then you will tell them, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. Now, why don't you repeat that with me? You say it after each phrase. With the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. Good. You see, we were slaves. We couldn't free ourselves, but God brought us out. Now, I've been asking this question, what is Passover to me? And I realize that Passover is one of the most meaningful holidays, perhaps my favorite holiday. And it has a number of different qualities about it that are important. First of all, I like the fact that it is the celebration of how the Lord delivered us from slavery in Egypt. When I first became a believer in Yeshua, I was only 21 years old, but because I was Jewish and I came to the Lord in a Christian setting, the people who I was in fellowship thought I was an expert on the Old Testament. And so they asked me all sorts of questions, and, you know, because I didn't want to be embarrassed, I developed this answer, well, I don't know, let me get back to you. And then I have to go read and study and find out answers about certain things. But I remember being asked to lead a Passover Seder myself as a young person, and I just took it for granted that what everybody wanted was a regular Seder. And that became sort of my custom. Because every Seder to me is important, even if it just follows the traditions of the Haggadah and traditional, even rabbinic Judaism. It's all important to me. And I think the fact that we gather together and we recall the Exodus and how God delivered us and redeemed us, that in itself can be enough. It's valuable all by itself. Because all by itself, Passover is powerful. It's also important to me because of memories that I have that built my own identity as a Jew. Growing up, we celebrated Passover. We didn't celebrate Easter. We celebrated Passover, and there was one reason. We were Jews. On Passover, we ate matzah, and they ate ham. Right? And we were searching for the Afikoman, and they were searching for, yeah, bunny eggs or something. I never could figure out bunny eggs. But so we had very different traditions, and we had different memories, different experiences. And I have to tell you, the Passover helped build my identity as a Jew. And then as a Messianic Jew, Passover is also important to me because it takes on additional importance with Yeshua. Yeshua, of course, celebrated Passover. It's sometimes surprising for Christians to learn that communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, is all based on the Passover Seder that Yeshua celebrated with his disciples. I remember being invited to a Catholic church, sort of a maverick Catholic church. And I only felt comfortable going so far in saying things there. But the priest who invited me, he added some comments to what I had said. And he actually asked me to help celebrate the Eucharist with them, which I didn't know was legal, but like I said, they were mavericks, so I did it. And while he's explaining, he says to his church, he says, I want you to remember something. The apostles were Jews. They weren't Catholics. And I couldn't control myself. I just went, I slapped myself on the face. And he said, not only that, Jesus wasn't a Catholic. He was a Jew. And I said, and he said, what we're doing here, it's connected to the Passover Seder. And I just looked at him and I said, I wasn't going to tell them any of this. And he said, no, but it's true. And I was at an Episcopal church once. And, you know, I don't know all the rules of these different denominations, and so I'm not really good at following their procedures. And the rector asked me if I would say something before they took the Eucharist. And I didn't know how they did it. So I lifted up the cup and I said, it was at Passover that Yeshua lifted up the cup. And then I lifted up the bread and I said, it was at Passover, he lifted up matzah. And I just made a few comments like this. And the rector came up after me and I thought, okay, I guess he's going to try to fix this. And he said, wow, I never stopped to think about it. He said, this changes everything. And it was good. It was a good thing. But you see, I came from a Jewish background where we just stood fast with our Jewishness. And when I became a Messianic Jew, Yeshua fit into that. He didn't destroy it. He brought it into greater fullness. And I didn't have to give up my Jewishness in order to follow Messiah. In fact, I have found that following Messiah strengthens me as a Jew. Now, of course, there are some people, and I'm going to conclude with this thought. I'm going to speak more about the subject of Yeshua, Passover, and what it means to us, and what it meant to the apostles tomorrow. But this question of connecting Messiah and Passover is very important to us because we declare that Yeshua is our Pesach. He is the Passover lamb. And I want to read to you, these are closing comments, just to read to you from a Jewish newspaper article that came out today. I just pulled out a few things. It was on a part of Hasidic Judaism, ultra-Orthodox. And let me just read these lines. As many Jews sit at home watching the clock on the last day of Passover, thinking about the slices of pizza they will soon devour. This was from a New Jersey Jewish newspaper. Hasidic groups around the world will usher out the holiday with mini seders, including 4 cups of wine and lots of matzah. And this is the Mashiach Seuda, or the meal of Messiah. More properly, they didn't do it correctly in Hebrew, it's Seudat Mashiach, the meal of Messiah. First instituted by the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidic Judaism. So the whole article is about how Hasidic Jews close Passover with a meal dedicated to the coming of Messiah. And then one Hasidic rabbi says, this is the last quote from this article, the first 2 days of Passover represent the redemption from Egypt, while the last 2 days represent the final redemption of the Jewish people by the Messiah. So that is their declaration. Now another article I read today has a Hasidic rabbi who's quoting the Rebbe Schneerson, who is now deceased, but he was the honored rabbi of the Chabad Lubavitch. And he quoted this, the Rebbe once explained, the 4 cups of wine on the Seder night are the cups of Moses, our teacher. The 4 cups of wine at Seudat Mashiach on the last day of Pesach are the cups of our righteous Mashiach, Messiah. So within Judaism, there is yet this other maverick group, the Hasidic Jews, who are praying for Messiah to come. Now, unfortunately, many of them think that Schneerson himself is Messiah. And when he died, they began to say, no problem, because Messiah comes again. He rises from the grave, he returns, and he finishes his work. And when they said that, other Jewish people were saying, you can't talk like this. You sound like Christians. And they say, no, this is Jewish to think like this. And there's a little battle within the Jewish world. You see, this is what we find. Even though Messianic Judaism and Hasidic Judaism don't agree about who is Messiah, it's perfectly clear to me that some of the teachings about Messiah that the apostles wrote down and some of the practices that early Messianic Jews and believers through the ages have embraced have actually made their way into Judaism. And they found a place that's not fully acknowledged. It's not fully understood, but there has been a way that God has worked that has touched Jewish people so that prayers will change. And all over the world, during these days, and in the coming days, Jewish people are going to be praying, God, please send us Messiah. I want to ask you to join in that prayer and to make that your heart's desire too. It's not Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson who is the Messiah. And it's not one of the other folks who is proclaiming he himself is Messiah. I got a call yesterday from a friend in Israel who said, you're not going to believe this. I just drove past three separate billboards proclaiming three different rabbis are Messiah. I said, that's really interesting. There's a good side to it. The good side is it tends to dismantle the idea that the Messianic age has to have come in its fullness for Messiah to appear. Do you understand that? And that was one of Maimonides and others' arguments that Yeshua could not be the Messiah because everything hasn't come of the final redemption. And now you've got all these different rabbis being proclaimed as the Messiah even though the final redemption hasn't come. And so there's something good about it. There's something bad about it. You know what that is. They got the wrong picture up there. The wrong person. Don't need a picture, but you do need a name. Yeshua. Yeah, wrong rabbi. Wrong rabbi. But let's take advantage of the yearning within our people for redemption at this time. And let's just close with prayer for that. Lord, we thank you that this is Chag Geulah, the feast of redemption. This is the season when our people are yearning for redemption and even crying out for Mashiach. And we pray that though many are asking and can't imagine the right answer, that you would still give to open hearts and open minds a revelation of the truth that Yeshua is Mashiach. Yeshua is Messiah. And let it be, Lord, that it brings new life to the whole Jewish world. Let the revelation of Messiah Yeshua bring life from the dead. Use us, Lord, to proclaim good news. Let us be sensitive to the feelings and the thoughts of our people. Let us be careful to draw close and not to just push, and not to just preach, but not to withhold our answers to sincere questions. And let it be that our love, Lord, matches your love, so that the love we have for one another would be like the love you have for us. And by this, all will know that we are your disciples. Thank you, Yeshua, our Pesach. Amen. We are going to have a special oneg tonight after our final closing blessings. It's a Passover oneg with special matzah kugel and haroset and all other sorts of tasty morsels. So I invite you to not just stay in this room, but join us in the oneg room when it's time to close. I've got a blessing for everyone for Passover. This is a three-part blessing. And so if you want a Passover blessing, just stand where you are. The first one is the blessing of freedom, that Passover would bring you freedom and touch your family with new freedom. The second one is the blessing of protection, that you would experience God's protection during Passover, just like the children of Israel did, when they put the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of their houses. When you apply Yeshua's blood to your own heart, it gives you that same kind of protection. And my prayer is that you would be mindful of it and be thankful for it too. And the third aspect of this blessing is that Passover would be part of your family traditions that you can pass on to others, and that the way you celebrate Passover at home and with family would draw you together, strengthen your family, and bring your family closer together and closer to the Lord. Lord, thank you for these. Let it be, Lord, that your blessings fall upon open hearts and open minds, that Passover freedom and Passover protection and the family traditions and identity that come from Passover would all be ours to inherit. That these blessings that belong to Am Yisrael, to the people Israel, would belong to our families too. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. If you have a child of your own nearby, I want you to gather them close, right in your arms, scoop them up, and we will pray these blessings over our sons. May God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh, Yesimcha Elohim ka Ephraim v'chim Nasha. And over our daughters, Yesimech Elohim ka Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, v'Leah. May God make you as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And we speak these words of blessings over our wives, if they're here or far away. If you've got a wife, gather together with her. A woman of valor, who can find? She is worth far more than precious jewels. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, and he profits greatly thereby. Eshet chayil mi yimtza, v'rachok mi pninim michra. Batach ba'lev ba'alav v'shalal lo yechsar. And then let's all gather together. No one stand all by themselves. But for Aaron's blessing, Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you with all of His favor. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Pesach Sameach. Join us for our oneg.